God, Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that keeps us. We thank you, Father, for the communion that we take every Sunday for our health and well-being. And we thank you that we are constantly under your protection and under the blood of Jesus. And we praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we're going to go into a study here, and it's something that I lived experientially. It's an exciting thing, and it's an exciting way to live. You got to have enough guts to step out and do it. But it's fun. It's fun. But you got to be able... You got to, number one, don't be afraid to embarrass anybody. Number two, don't be afraid to part with a few bucks. You know? Now, this is called creative love giving. We're going to talk about this. And it's going to take a little while to get through it. But creative love giving is a thing that the Holy Spirit will use. He'll use you to bless somebody else. And you're going to have to be quick to hear. You'll hear him say, bless that one. Just bless that one. Bless that one. Bless that one. Don't get caught saying, you know, I'll run out of money if I keep doing that. Well, who are you? See, he'll get it to you if he can get it through you. And then you'll find people all over the place. You're not going to find them necessarily at the food bank, but you'll find them all over the place. They won't be asking for anything. The Holy Spirit will say, get that one. Bless that one. You ready? Here's the number one thing. Just in case you're curious about finances, this is your number one verse that you're ever going to be required to know. This is the number one verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. There's never been a more important verse concerning finances than this verse right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. There's never been a more important verse than that concerning finances. Now, I know that in a lot of word of faith circles, I'd get rocks thrown at me over that. But that's the Bible, and that is the gospel. If it is not Jesus Christ and him crucified, it is not the gospel. Okay? That's your number one verse. Always keep this at the forefront of your thinking. It's his grace. It's his grace. It took me a long time to understand what Wayne Myers was talking about. He said, you can't live a selfish life in the shadow of the cross. And it's because of that verse. He prospers you so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. He blesses you so that you can be a blessing. Amen. Now, look at Luke chapter 6, verse 27. Sometimes we'll have to get our natural thinking out of the way. And you'll just have to roll with it sometimes. One time I needed a, I was broke. I was broke. I could afford to eat three times a week. But I did have a job. One day, I had 50 bucks to my name. I had my groceries bought, and I had 50 bucks to my name. And I needed a $1,500 part for my pickup. Well, I was going to go get me a cup of coffee. And I went up to this cafe. I went in there and had a cup of coffee, and I visited a little bit with the Oldfield guys. And I was walking out, and this little lady on this little scooter, she come up there. And she said, "Can you help me with this door?" And I said, "Well, yeah." And the Holy Spirit said, "You give her 50 bucks. And when the rubber meets the road, man, that was the 50 bucks I had. I said, "Well, okay." So I said, "Here, ma'am, I want you to go get yourself some groceries, get you something to eat." So she took that. And this guy that was working on my pickup called me on the phone that day. And he said, "You know, my friend," he come walking in the shop, and he said, "I tore this old pickup apart. And I got this fuel, it was a pump, a special pump, fuel pump." He said, "And I don't need this thing, but I heard you was working on a pickup like that." I said, "Can you use that?" He said, "Yes." So he said, "It don't cost you nothing." Amen. Be bold and just be willing to let God take care of the rest of it. Amen. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. "But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you, and unto him that smiteth you on the cheek offer also the other, and him that taketh away thy cloak forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, ask of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do the same. If you lend to them to whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much gain. But love you your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Now, a lot of people take that last verse, and they'll use it to try to twist God's arm. If I just keep giving, 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 God's got to fold and he's got to give. No, you got it in reverse. Go to the cross and say, "Thank you, Jesus, for meeting my needs, and thank you for prospering me. Now, out of a pure heart, I can give to help somebody else and bless somebody." Amen. Hardest things for people is to not be judgmental. See, you're going to hear a lot of cool stories about this. I really did live this experientially. Now, I was working in an oil field, And I go to this same gas station every day, and I get me a cup of coffee or whatever, a bottle of water and a hot dog. And I go, well, there was a guy there one day that didn't have any money, didn't have a job. Of all things, this town was booming. If you couldn't find a job, it's because you didn't want one. Well, it turns out he didn't have a driver. I asked him, I said, why ain't you working? He said, because I don't have a driver's license. I thought, uh-oh. So what did he do? He said, it's all messed up. I got to get down to Oklahoma to get my driver's license. He said, it's okay, but I just got to get to Oklahoma to do it. So I thought, can I get you a burrito? He said, yeah. I said, I'll get you two. I'll get you one for breakfast, one for lunch. He said, well, whatever. So anyway, he was there again the next day, you know, and we were getting ready to move to Texas. So here's this guy, you know, and I got $500. We're going to move to Texas. So this guy's there every day, you know, so I'm loading him up on burritos. And then one day, I went there and he was gone. And I thought, man, I wonder what he's up to. So I went the other way to my field. And there he was walking down the road. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm going to walk. I said, you're heading to Cheyenne? He said, yeah. I said, you're heading into a blizzard. I got to do what I got to do. And I said, here, I'll buy you a bus ticket, man. So I bought him a bus ticket. So now I no longer have $500. So me and Connie, we walk into the church to say our goodbyes, you know, and hug everybody's necks and say adios, and we're going to go. And we walked out of there with $15,000 in our pockets. Never asked anybody for a dime. This is not a game. But you got to get your heart right. You got to get your heart right. God blesses you to be a blessing to somebody else. He picked you up so that you can help somebody else get up. Amen? That's got to be our number one thing. He's already met our needs. And because he's met our needs, then we meet somebody else's needs. So how are we going to make him make this a reality? This 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. You're going to have to meditate on this. You're going to thank him. Say, Father, I thank you that I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, and after his poverty have been made rich. Yeah? I don't care if you don't have two pennies to rub together. You say that because that's the truth. And when you say the truth enough and you put it in the atmosphere enough, it's going to become a physical reality. Sometimes in some of the most amazing ways that you can't even imagine. But you're going to have to be hard-headed and stay on it. Now go back to Luke 6:38. Says, give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. Now we all like that. Give, and it's going to come back to you. Sometimes on each wave. You won't even know what wave you cast that bread out on. It'll just go, and it'll come back. But the biggest thing is, don't be judgmental of people. Don't be harsh on people. Sometimes, you know, you run into them at these gas stations. They're broke down, or they're walking from here to there. Some of the stories I've heard are just absolutely amazing. But you just bless people. Amen? One lady showed up here, and I try to visit with people, kind of locate them and find out what they're up to. And I said, well, where are you from? She said, Chicago. I said, well, where have you been? She said, New Orleans. I said, I said, where are you going? I said, Chicago. I said, well, why are you going to Sacramento, California? Because from New Orleans, Louisiana, to Chicago, Sacramento is not on the way. And she's pregnant. And she said, well, I got a friend in Sacramento, and he's got to go to Chicago. And these guys said they'd give me a ride from Louisiana to Sacramento, but they won't buy me no food. I said, well, I'll buy you some food. I'll get you some food. I'll get you some road food, and you can get to Sacramento and then Chicago. But, you know, I could have looked at her and said, you're just a pregnant girl that's been out hustling drugs. Well, I don't know that. I don't know. I said, well, how about your folks? He said, they're broke. They don't have no way to be taking care of me. I said, well, here's some food. So she took off. I took her down to the store and I said, you get what you need down here. Matter of fact, that one was the church. Bought that one. Well, I took her shopping. But do that. Sometimes you'll just find people that just need a little hand to help them out. So the Luke 6:38 is a solid verse to stand on. It's a solid verse to build your life on. When you have a full understanding in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Now, turn over to Malachi chapter 3. Yep. This was one of my shouting verses for a long time. And I'll tell you what, I was a big time tither. And I know it works. I operated in this, and I know it works. I know it works. But see, the Bible tells us that there's a former glory and a latter glory. And this former glory is fading. And this latter glory keeps getting brighter and brighter and brighter. See, the law is a faded thing. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall destroy the And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, says the Lord of hosts. All nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. That's a good verse. That's good. But what gets tied to that is verse 9. It says, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. I walked around for the longest time with it in my heart that if I didn't take that 10% and make sure that thing, I was so paranoid about this that I had a special box off to the side. I'd cash my check and that 10% would go into that box until I could get to church. And then I had it in my head that I had to give another 10% for the giving part. So that 10% would go into the box. So there's 20%. And then alms. I'd throw that in the box. But I'll tell you what, God blessed me He blessed me. I had it in my heart that I would receive, and I just kept giving and giving and giving, and I couldn't outgive God. But guess what? It got to the point where I was giving to get, and I was afraid that if I didn't give, I wouldn't get. Amen. And the more I studied this and the more I learned about this, the more paranoid I got. And then it got where that money, that 20% couldn't even touch my money no more. I mean, it was like, pretty soon I was a nervous wreck. And I thought, there's got to be something. There's got to be something that gives here. And then it got where, if I made a little mistake, according to my believing, then something would happen. Why? Because I was getting what I believed for, the curse. I was trying to operate under the law. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 hadn't become a reality to me yet. Once I learned that the cross made all the difference, it got a whole lot funner and a whole lot easier. You know, Jesus is a lot more freewheeling than people think he is. And he is not a harsh taskmaster. Amen? That deal right there probably cost me more sleep than anything else ever has. I heard people preach everything under the sun about money except for 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. And once I got a revelation of that verse in my heart, I was no longer afraid of any of that. And all that old teaching just got washed off of me by the blood of Jesus. And then the finances started flowing. And the fun started happening. Look at Proverbs chapter 9. Verse 17. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 17. 19, verse 17, I'm sorry. Chapter 19, verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and he that he hath given, that which he has given, will he pay him again. See, you don't have to worry. When you give something to the poor, you don't have to worry about it. God's got your back. Right there, he said, he that hath pity, you give to the poor, God's going to give it back to you. Boom. And then it gets fun because then you don't know which one of these guys you gave something to, which one is he getting it back to you from? It's just, I mean, you just run around and bless people, and pretty soon the blessings overtake you. It's fun. It's really a creative way to live. It's an exciting way to live. Now, you need to really stop and ask the Holy Spirit sometimes. Because sometimes, you know, you'll notice that there's a lot of people in trouble now. There's a lot of people in trouble now. And you need to ask the Holy Spirit, say, what about this? You know, there's some people that are going to be in trouble, and God's going to be able to deal with them to pull them out of that trouble. as long as we don't make it comfortable for them to stay in that trouble. Amen? Sometimes people out of the goodness of their hearts will try to help somebody, and all they've done was just enable them. You know, there's a lot of alcoholics in this world that probably would have quit drinking 10 years before they did, or 5 years before they did, if they didn't have an enabler. You know, if they didn't have a soft spot to fall. But we love them so much. You're not helping them. To have the opportunity of lending to the Lord is a great privilege in life, and yet few take advantage of it. You know, when you lend to the poor, you lend to the Lord. Very few people take advantage of it. The poor have always, they've always been here. We have always had them. And in all places. So the opportunity is everywhere. And all the time. There's always that opportunity. It's always present. Think of it. God himself becomes a debtor for everything given to the poor. How much will you advance God on this basis? God will pay it again, for in no case has he ever failed to do so. Look at Galatians chapter 6. This is one thing I'm particularly hard-nosed about poor people. I'm protective of them. And one thing about in church settings, I'm very protective of poor people. People of home knew that in particularly. They never, ever, 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 ever looked crosswise at somebody for being poor around me. I drug a lot of people to church. I would find them and I'd bring them. I'd drag them to church. I'd invite them. I'd get them born again. I'd get them to church. And sometimes there'd be two or three rows full of people that followed me in there. A lot of them were desperately poor. A lot of them were just broke. And it was just an unspoken rule that nobody ever berated them. Never. Don't be mean to poor people. It's not cool. Use that as an opportunity to bless. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You're going to reap a harvest. You're going to reap a harvest. And here's the thing now. Don't get so caught up in seeking the blessing that you're sowing this seed and you got your mind and on your heart focused on this blessing and that's all you can think about because you're missing the boat. Get your heart and mind on Jesus and seek Him. seek Him, His kingdom and His righteousness, and let Him flow through you, and that blessing will just flow through you just smooth. Amen? He'll find creative ways to get jobs to you. He'll find creative ways to get finances to you. He'll find creative ways to get blessings to you. He's a creative God. Amen? And He's a good God. He just needs a little participation from His children. The first thing you got to do is go receive from Him by grace. And then let it flow through you. Amen? The Bible tells us, describes us as being like trees that are planted by the rivers of living water that spread their branches out, produces fruit in due season. And its leaf doesn't wither in droughts. Well, in droughts, things get kind of tough, don't they? You're going to see a lot of panicking people. Now, there's a lot of people losing jobs, and there's a lot of people that are really, really panicked about this oil boom, this oil bust. You know, there's a lot of things going down. And one guy I was talking to, he said he was a professional in the oil field, and he just invested a lot of money and did some stuff. And I said, "You're really a professional?" He said, "Yeah." And I said, "Then why are you so freaked out?" And he kind of got mad. I said, "Ever since I was this tall, we've had booms and we've had busts. We've had booms and we've had busts. We've had booms and we've had busts. It's never not come back." Amen. It's always come back. The economy's always recovered. There's always been a rebound. This is a chance for God's people to shine now. And watch and let the world see God do things through His people. One thing you need to always remember is it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. When you go be nice to somebody, just because you can be nice to them, the Holy Spirit said, go over there and bless that one. They look at you like why would you do that? I can't. And then pretty soon, some of these people that you've been helping and some of these people that you've been blessing and talking to, pretty soon they'll say, how do I get to know this God that you know? Amen? I got one more verse. Go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. I had a guy tell me one time, said that you should preach the gospel everywhere you go. And if you have to, use words. How does that work? How do you preach the gospel without using words? That one baffled me for a long, long time. And I never did understand what that meant until one time my pastor called me from Wyoming and he said, "Do you know so-and-so?" I said, "Well, I guess kind of. I kind of remember it was a man and his wife. I kind of remember him, but I'm not exactly sure, but I kind of do." And he said, "Well, they came to church. And they said, we knew Skeet before Jesus. You know, we knew Skeet after Jesus. Whatever you did to him, you do that to us." Wow. That's what that means. If you have to, use words. But But they watched me change. They watched God change me. Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Jesus is serious about taking care of people. You're going to see just how serious he is. Later on in this teaching, we're going to discover widows and orphans. And yeah, I mean, if the orphans were a little closer to us, we'd probably have Christmas for the orphans. That is a real charge, man. That is cool. That's a cool event. But unfortunately, to get from Odessa to here, it's a pretty good bus ride. I don't think they'll quite make it. He's serious about taking care of people. I noticed when I was in Bible school, I ran into a lot of different ideas. And I ran into people that were called to go preach to the PBR. There was people that were called to go preach to the PRCA. There were people that were called to... One guy actually told me, he said he was anointed to go preach to the extremely rich. But there wasn't very many people called to go preach to the poor people. And I wondered why. And I was out there, and then one day it hit me. I said, I'm preaching to all these guys in jails and out in the rough parts of the neighborhood. And I noticed there's one thing. There's no lines of preachers waiting to get in there to preach to them. And there's no tithe bucket going around. So you're not going to walk out of there with a handful of cash. But I was willing. I wanted to be used. I wanted to do something. And he just kept using me. And then I found out I had a special calling. This was a good one. If there was an opportunity to go to Black Eye, I got a call. So there was a lot of times that, well, when there's a family fight and they want a pastor to go talk to them, and there's a raging husband, I got a lot of calls to go. I only got whacked once. I noticed there weren't a lot of preachers lined up to go there. But I wanted to be used. I wanted to be useful in the kingdom. I volunteered for whatever I could find. And then God kept finding creative ways to use me. Amen? It's fun. Have a giving heart. In order to have a giving heart, you're going to have a receiving heart. See, if you're not receiving, you're not going to have anything to give. First, you have to learn to receive. We get taught that backwards a lot. You got to give to get. I'm telling you, you got to receive to give. Amen? The cross made all the difference in the world. Okay, we better stop. We're like 45 minutes. That's a record Bible study around here. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that every time we look into your word, the Holy Spirit is here to teach us. He's here to guide us, helpfully divide your word of truth. Father, we thank you that you've given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We praise you that every time we get your word in our hearts and speak it forth out of our mouth in faith, that those angels take that word and they go forth and they cause your word to be performed on our behalf. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.